Following the request, a little bit of a summary, but what we learned yesterday. So we're gonna. I think that the best way is to think as follows. There's areas which is b'di'avad. There's areas where you cannot put the tefillin at all, even not yet to b'di'avad. There's an opinion that the Vilna Gaon who said yoytze in another area, which is fine, which is not lechatchila, but it's b'di'avad yoytze. And there's one area which is the ideal area where you should put the tefillin sheliyat. So the area that you're not yoytze at all is, that's right, beyond the muscle. So that's whether by the on both sides, whether it's by the elbow area, so called the elbow. What do we say it's called? Or the joint area, or whether the shoulder area, anything which is beyond the heightened muscle area, if it's past that or before that, that area you're not yoytze according to all opinions. And that happens to be, you often see people fill in a bit too low, and that would be a problem. That's the area which is past, and yesterday somebody pointed out, and it's probably true. It's only about two fingers, the two fingers that you put over here, that's the, once you're within those two fingers, you are most likely not to be yoytze the mitzvah, even by the Evet. So that's where you're for sure not yoytze the mitzvah. That's no question. Any part of the filling should not be within that area. So that's beyond the muscle, beyond the heightened, raised area. Okay. Then there is the area, the more lenient opinion, which is the opinion of Vilna Gaon. Unlike Dermo, he says the entire area of the muscle, you can be yoytze the mitzvah on that. So which probably in my arm, it's probably from here till here, is the heightened area that you're yoytze to put the tefillin within that. That's the more lenient opinion, and I think many of us will need to rely on that opinion, either because you've got larger tefillin, or because your arm is not that big. That's the opinion of the Vilna Gaon, and that is where you can be yoytze according to Vilna Gaon. So that's the area, any area which is the heightened, raised area. Was Shulchano, that's the Vilna Gaon's opinion.
According to his shita, that's
lechatchila. The Rama is more machmir, and that's really the main opinion. And he says, no, you can't just be yoytze any area which is the raised area. The only area where you can be yoytze is from the second half of the lower half of the arm down. Within the swollen area, within the raised area. So instead of having all this being the mokama mitzvah, it's from here till it goes down, which is, you've halved it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you've halved it. That's the Vilna Gaon, and the Rama is probably half of that. Yeah. Now, if you tefillin are not small, and you can't be yoytze the Rama, the Mishnah would suggest what you meant to do, rather have it a bit higher, and thereby fulfilling the mitzvah according to the Vilna Gaon, as opposed to keep it strictly according to the Rama, and then having it too down, and not being yoytze according to anyone. Simple mathematical halachic cheshbon. Good question. I'm so sorry. I should have. Yeah. Okay, so is that a brief, quick summary?
And it should be just slightly.
Yeah, forward. Additionally, the Mo says, and everybody agrees with that, it should be noted, leaning towards your heart, towards your body. And everybody agrees with that. Top of page, second part of the Mo Tzivalev. No, it isn't, although I did see that the poets can say, if it's really facing the other direction, if it's really going out, then it could be a question of not being yoytze. Right. Okay, so there's three levels. The area they're not yoytze at all. The area they're not yoytze at all. The area yoytze according to Vilna Gaon. And the most stringent opinion, the area yoytze according to Rama, which is Lechatchila. Okay. Now, Rama on top of the page. Kidim she'en le'yad, somebody who doesn't have an arm. We are in Simon Chav Zayin, Seif Aleph, second half of Seif Aleph, which in many editions is the top of the page. Gidim Shein Leyad, somebody who doesn't have a hand, Rak Zuraya only an arm, Yuniach Bale Bracha should put the arm with that Bracha. And the Tosfos, Kosvu, the Gidim Chayev, if a person still has a part of the arm, He should be putting the tefillin there, but it's ruah because of the potum. Rabbi said this leads into the following conversation, which is very relevant. This is, of course, talking about somebody who chalila chas v'shalom, he doesn't have an arm on the left hand. So what do we do if a person doesn't have a left? Oh, shalom aleichem, b'chem aboim. Yeah. So what do we do if a person?
There's got to be loyalty. That's what I, you've been going for years.
Can they hear? Can you hear us?
We're muted. But we're muted, maybe.
So that's the discussion with regards to somebody. Thank you very much. That's the discussion if somebody, the Gemara says somebody chole doesn't have an arm on the left hand, whether he can, doesn't have a left arm, to what extent he still chayev. The Gemara says if he still got a bit of an arm, he should put on tefillin on the arm that he has. Okay. Now the Mishnah goes for me and the Poskim, the Achronim go for me into a different question, which is what if somebody doesn't have an arm, or we can say it in slightly different terms, he's unable to put on tefillin because of his right, he doesn't have his right arm physically strong enough. An example for that could be somebody who's very weak on the right hand, somebody broke his right hand. So we understand that if somebody chalila doesn't have a left hand, so we understand, a person is going to try his best to put on tefillin there. Okay. But if somebody's got his left hand is perfectly functioning perfectly well, but his right hand is not functioning well, the question is, pardon? Someone doesn't have strength, for instance, or somebody chalila, just as simple as that. Somebody who broke his right hand, his right arm is not operating properly. So the question in such a case is going to be, what's the most logical thing to do in such a case?
To ask somebody else.
That somebody is unable to put on tefillin himself, you ask somebody else to put on tefillin as well. Does that work? Can you ask somebody else to put on tefillin? And of course, the reason why this is a question is, why is it a question in the first place? Because of the bracha, and the bracha is the oniach, but the bracha really indicates what the mitzvah is. Lehoniach, the mitzvah is lehoniach, to put on tefillin. There is clearly a mitzvah within the action of putting on tefillin. I know, obviously there's also a mitzvah of having tefillin on, but the bracha is on the putting on tefillin, the tying on tefillin. So therefore, once you understand there's an element of the action of putting on tefillin, the action of putting on tefillin is the mitzvah, you could argue, and this is really indeed the question of Achronim, could you ask somebody else to put on tefillin on your behalf? An example is somebody, just simple as that, somebody broke his right arm, and he puts on, somebody had to help put on tefillin, somebody after a surgery, whatever. We're going to be discussing, not now, but we will be discussing what happened if somebody's got a cast on the left hand. We'll discuss that, but not now. But just, yeah.
When you say tachnin, things like that, you're not so makbid on always keeping that arm. The important thing is to have one on a arm to make a bracha.
No, so that's the Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkot Na'alef, you must put your tefillin on your left arm, because the pasuk indeed tells us medeksiv yad cha behei perish yad kehei. It must be on your weaker arm. So if a person puts on, Mishnah will later add, somebody puts on tefillin on the right or the stronger arm, but the evidoyot is not yotze at all. Tachanun is a different discussion. So the question is, can you ask somebody else put on tefillin on yourself?
The father can't say ala mila on a bris, he has to say lachnis aso.
Lachnis
if he's not in the bris himself. So the chora is
why are you comparing bris mila, the mitzvah of bris mila?
Because it's a shliach, it's pointing a shliach. One is pointing a shliach to
but you're making two assumptions. You're making an assumption that the bris mila, the mitzvah is the action of the bris and not to be mild. Yeah, so clearly by bris, there's both elements. There's an Indian of doing the action of mila. There's certainly, but there's a mitzvah in that. And there's also another mitzvah of being nimoil, being gemalet, is also a mitzvah. But what about tefillin? By tefillin, how does that work? So the emes is, guess what? It's a machlokes, yeah. So there is early makoyres, it's hard, okay. There is early makoyres that goes mam, and it seems to imply that it's an intrinsic part of the mitzvah, and it's such an intrinsic part of the mitzvah that you cannot ask somebody So he's saying shliach. So shliach, you're right, you potentially can ask somebody to do a shliach, but what if somebody's not? Like this Maimonides says, that if somebody's not chayv a mitzvah, such as, yeah, perhaps a shoyter, I'm talking about, yeah, a shoyter, a goy, he speaks about a goy, alternatively, perhaps the most likely person who want to help you, if a person is in, yeah, noshim, women are exempt from tefillin. Can you ask, can a person who's in bed ask his wife, can you please help me to put on tefillin? So if you never, he's not, he can't do it himself. So the says you can't, because she's not chayv mitzvah, and this is part of the mitzvah. Since she's not self-obligated, she cannot act as a shliach. She can't do it. You'll never agree to it. So lemaisa, but Aruch lemaisa, Rabbi said, despite the fact that there is early sources to argue that it's impossible, the consensus of the poskim is that you can't be lenient, and if need be, one can ask both a woman or a cotton, or you said a shoyter, you can be asked to do a shoyter, it's probably not going to be so helpful with that, but you could ask somebody, a goy can, or a nurse, right, whatever, I'm saying whatever the case may be, can be doing the mitzvah. So the Rabbi said, the maskana of the poskim is that a non-chayv mitzvah is able to put on the tefillin onto somebody, and he still makes the mitzvah. In terms of the bracha, that's another discussion. It could be that he can make the bracha anyway. Yeah.
Where assumption that you wouldn't be allowed to do that is on the premise of the bracha. But the lashon pasuk is.
The bracha might indicate what the essence of the mitzvah is.
But the pasuk itself says it should be.
It should be. Yeah. Yeah. But
the,
yeah. Yeah, I hear. Yeah, okay. So,
someone lost their left arm.
That's what the Mishnah, that's what the Ramah talks about. A gidim, because the gidim chayv, a gidim is chayv. That's the Ramah. The Ramah says a gidim is chayv. If there's anything left within the arm, a person's chayv.
There's nothing left, you put on the right arm.
Yeah, so if nothing left, the person can say, then he's basically like a right-handed person. He's got no choice, he's got to put on the right hand. The chatzitza we'll discuss later. What's your shalav? What's your shalav chatzitza? Kass. We'll discuss kass. We'll discuss kass in due course. I suppose it's not only his potter. If he doesn't have an arm, where will he put on the? Where will he put on the thing? That's probably what the gidim that the Ramo is talking about. Because of the gidim chayev is talking about somebody he's got some arm left. And he's got an obligation to put on the left arm then, yeah. If somebody else puts it on him, in terms of the bracha, yeah, I suppose. Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Okay, so that's the discussion over here of putting on somebody else. I just want to point out the last three words of Mishnah Busif Kotten Vav does say that Ve'ivakesh lachem shani cholov. Somebody is if somebody's got no arm left or no hand left, and there's some arm left on the left hand side, it says Ve'ivakesh lachem shani cholov. He does mention, emphasize, and stress that a person can ask somebody else to put on tefillin on his left arm. So it is Mishnah Busif does hold like that. Yeah, that's what. Yeah. No, so it's better to put it on the left, despite the fact that it's not mamash the ideal place. Better that than putting on the right hand, which is completely wrong arm. Okay. See, base Rabbi Yisai, Aminig Anochen Shiayud Shal Kesh Tefila Shal Yad Letzad Halev. We will be discussing the exact two of the tefillin at the later course, but for now we have to remember that there is every tefillin has a yud right next to the what we call the bais, the upper part of the tefillin. The ritzua is made into the shape of a yud, which is closely connected to the bais, depending on which. If you're right handed, left handed, and depending if you're Nusach Ashkenaz and Tuchsvat, but either way, you will have a yud which is close to the bais. Now, this, the Ramah is telling us to be a minik. The Shulchan Aruch is telling us a minik. A minik anochon, the correct minik, shea yud shall kesh a tefillah, that the yud of the knot of the tefillin, the ritzua, shall yad letzad aleiv, that should be leaning towards the heart. And the tefillin is the other direction. Yeish leizaya, one should be careful as well. Should I tozuz yud shelakesh me'atfilin? One should make sure that yud doesn't go far away from the tefillin. Now it sounds easier than that. It's actually quite. It's not so poshut, because depending if you are putting nusach Ashkenaz or nusach Sfarad, Biyalocha goes into this discussion. Depending on where your loop is, because if you've got, if you do nusach Sfarad, you're going to pull it always away from you. The yud is always going to be pulled away from you. And then you're going to run into trouble with this minig over here. The Ashkenazi minig, that yud is, no, Rabbi Feingold, where's your yud? On the left side or on the right side? Check it out. I think that the nusach, according to the Mishnah Berurah, the nusach Sfarad is a bit more problematic. But what we need to know is that the yud that you have sticking out of the tefillin, that should always be next to, so there's two things that it says over here. The yud has to be towards the heart, should be facing the heart, and he also says that the tefillin should be the other direction. Check it out, your tefillin are fine. But that's what the minig is. Yeah. Yeah, there's two minogim. Yeah. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I don't know what the Shulchan Aruch has there. I don't know. Interesting. Yeah. It's Taka Tuminogim, yeah. Haminig, Siv Gimel. Siv Gimel. Haminig Anochon is Taka Tcham Avarta Shebo, Haritzu Iveres. Now the Mavarta is Loshon Mava. Mava means? Passing through. Now what's that in the Tefillin, the Mavarta? What passes through what? Of course, the Ritzua passes through the Bais of the Tefillin. The Ma'avarta, which is the holds, which is that part of the Tefillin, where the Ritzua goes through. Ha'minig anochein, le'sakin sham, Ma'avarta shebo Ritzua veres, te'emunachas le'tzad ha'koseif. The Ma'avarta, i.e., should we call it the tunnel, where the Ritzua goes through, that should be le'tzad ha'koseif, in other words, that should be towards your shoulder, up. On top. And the other part of the tzadayad should go down towards the hand. Now, by the way, this is very relevant to lefties, or sometimes to righties as well. Okay, because why is that? When a person has a tefillin, what it says over here is, he has to make sure that the ma'avarta is towards the shoulder. Which is, by the way, the normal tefillin that we've got, obviously they do it like that. However, if a person ever finds himself in a situation that he has to, lefties, who is a left? Who said he's a lefty? Okay. So a lefty who is in a situation who doesn't have his tefillin with him or whatever. He needs to borrow somebody else's tefillin. He's going to put on a righty's, right-handed tefillin. You can do it. No problem, right?
You're right. So when I got hold of my tefillin, I put them on again.
It felt a bit funny. Yeah. Okay. It's hard to tighten it, but in theory, it can be yoitzer. But what will happen? What are you going to do then? You're going to put on, well, how did you do it? Do you remember how you did it? You're going to put it upside down. You're going to put it upside down. So what's going to be then? What's going to be then? The Mavart is going to be the other direction. Okay? So the Shulchan Aruch says, Haminig Anochein, the correct meaning is that the Mavart should be going up. It's not. It's a Minig Anochein. Yeah, the Yud is also good. But here again, the Yud is also a Minig Anochein. It's all Minhogim Nachoinim. It's correct. Good Minig, but it's certainly not Ma'akev. But one should make sure that on a constant basis, one should make sure that the Mavart goes the right direction. No, that's not a problem. Okay, Rabbi Isai, so if Dalit's going to the discussion of Chatzitza, which is of course a really important discussion, and this is what we're going to be seeing now. One should ensure that there's nothing being Chatzitz. Nothing being separating, interrupting, between tefillin, between the tefillin, lepsoro, to his skin, to his body. Lo ishno, no different shel yad, whether you're talking about a tefillin shel yad. Lo ishno, no different tefillin shel rosh. There's nothing allowed to be between the tefillin and the skin. V'davka with tefillin, says the Ramot, is only with regards to the tefillin. Avol b'ritzuos, but with regards to the ritzuos, ein lehakpid, there's no such concern. So obviously the ritzuos that come down, there's no problem that can be on top of your garments, etc. There's no problem of chatzitza. Now, the Mishnah over here in Sif Kotten Yud Gimel says as follows. Lo yei, deksiv, what is the reason why there may not be a chatzitza? Because it says in the posting, al yotcha, on your hand with finished losh, ksiv, bein einecha, tova choytzitz, afilu chatzitza koldu. Even anything is not allowed to be nothing. There must be anything choytzitz between the tefillin and the skin. V'nochen li zoel lechatchila, afilu bekino chayo. That's how minimal the chatzitza. Even a kinochayo, a tiny lice. I mean, a person may stomachs not enjoy lice so much, but even a tiny insect, which is nearly invisible, it's that small, natured object, which is considered chatzitza, kinochayo. Now, I don't know why. I don't know. I was always wondering if this mishnebu means kinochayo, which means a kin. What's if because it's alive? What if it's not alive? Is mishnebu meduik of it? Because you're more makpid, less makpid. Why? And I see. I was wondering. Maybe a person cares more about a kinochayo. Maybe it's not makpid if it's dead. I'm not sure, but you're probably right. Yeah, I think your pshat is good. Shelo yehem mapsig ben tefillin lepsod. There should be nothing interrupting, not even an insect, nothing at all. Valkain. Valkol ponim bekino meisa v'ofi yishlizo, even dust, he says, yeah, even for meisa, even if it's the kin is taka dead and dust and dirt, you should be careful. Valkin yishnoigim lichoy tzmokim anachas tefillin. Mishnah Berurah said one should scrub off, clean it, make sure it's not. Now I don't know if it's talking about what does it mean to clean the place of tefillin. What does it mean? I don't know. Does it mean that the person has to start rubbing off the mokma tefillin before he puts on tefillin on? I'm not sure that's what it means. It's just to be reasonably clean. I don't know. Kosav be safe. No, because I know that there are people that are very, very makbid on this. But kosav be safe. Revid azov. The nira demas sheretzuch etzes lefa'omim ben tefillin epsoi lo miki chatzitza temim b'mino einu choytzeitz. He said the retzu itself is not considered chatzitza. So if the retzur gets in between, it's called min b'minoi, tefillin, the bais, and the retzur is min b'minoi, it's not choytzeitz. Now, what is very practical, what has to be very careful, but it's self-understood really, is a shirt. Because it happens very frequently that people are not careful with the shirt. Your shirt has to be really, do you know what I mean? Shirt often gets under the retzur, and that would be a proper chatzitza. And certainly, it's true to say the person is not yotze the mitzvah. Even a person has a bit of shirt under the retzur, he's not yotze the mitzvah. There's no shy about it. Yeah.
If you put it on, but had a bit of shirt on the bracha and everything, then you pull the shirt out.
Yeah. What? Yeah, no, but we're makbid even miuch ain't a makbid. We are careful even miuch ain't a makbid.
The thing is that Rachman al-Tolam.
How long after are you talking about chapping? Like halfway through davening or just a couple of seconds later? I would argue that if it's really, really much later, I mean, I don't know. I would probably. What's the argument to say that it's yotz the mitzvah? Why would it be yotz the mitzvah? What would be the tzad to say that it's fine? It doesn't have to make a new bracha.
Rubai?
Is the rubai going on the whole of the thing, or was just the kamach going on the bias? If the main part of the mitzvah is the bias, it's the fact that you got the retzuah. Really,
I'm saying you pulled it out.
The rub of the bias is on the.
No. I don't know what to say. I don't know. You know what? Let's keep this question open because there's another seif later which might clarify. We'll keep this open. I mean, the pashtus, I would say that
the roof of the is
on, and so what?
Is on
so
the
what? So what? So you're roof, saying that the roof. So therefore, I don't know. Let's keep this open for now. Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Tezvav, a famous Mishnah Berurah, which is a bit. Bit controversial. Sif Katan Tezvav. Mishnah Berurah says, "Loish Noshel Rosh." Katan Tezvav says, "Lachzer Shekel." Verolai Amaisa Shel Oisna Noshim. It is very raw. It's very bad on me. I don't understand. I don't like Oisna Noshim. Those people. Shemegadlim Berurah. Then we've got exceptionally exceptionally unnaturally long hair. Milvad, kudech, shachatz vegaiva. Besides the fact that it's considered gaiva, and it's not sliastic. Ein mashkos b'yodeh sim kuf ein ches. Yesh ba'isa b'nachas tefillin. It's also another problem. Nachas tefillin. A person's got exceptionally long hair that will be a problem of chatzitza. The given the gedulam harba, since it's exceptionally long hair. You cannot say that's normal. You cannot say that's. Exactly. Yeah. You cannot say it's normal, and you cannot say it's therefore it's considered. It's chatzitza ein sham, and he says. And then he says another problem with that. That I can hear that better. Even if forget about the problem of chatzitza, says Bishul Hanasagas and Berubim Yevshal Etzamtzem Shemudokim Unochim Al Mekoyim Kedin. So besides the fact of chatzitza, if you've got very long hair, what happens also is that often it's inevitable that you can't put it, the tefillin will move, and the tefillin is not going to be right in the correct place. It will not be right in the correct place. And therefore, you're unlikely to be mekayem the mitzvah tefillin shalosh properly. Now, the second problem I totally hear. What? Yeah, absolutely. So the second problem I hear, there's a practical problem. If somebody's got very long hair, then the tefillin are likely to move. I hear that. The first problem, what the Mishnah brings in the Machzor Shekel, it's famous, it's widely quoted. Mishnah says, if a person's got really long hair, it's going to be chatzitza. It's very, very hard to understand. I'll question this, because normally, what's hair? Hair can be chatzitza? How can hair be chatzitza? Short hair is not chatzitza. Mishnah agrees with that. Machzor Shekel, short hair is not a problem. Because why? Because it's part of your body, right? When does a hair become long enough that it becomes chatzitza? What does it mean? If it's exceptionally long? What does that mean, exceptionally long? When, at what stage does it become chatzitza? It's very hard to understand.
Maybe it's
Maris Ayin.
It looks like.
Yeah, so Maris Ayin could be a thing that. Maris Ayin could be something we're going to be discussing in CFA, but it doesn't sound like it from the Mishnah over here, because he seems to be saying V'choytetim, it becomes proper chatzitza, not Maris Ayin, chatzitza. I did see some poskim saying the following, that's perhaps the only thing which I can understand, that if it's long enough that the hair goes like up, when you put the fill in, the hair goes like up, then it's not the right place of the hair, because hair tends to go down. And not that I can talk from, I mean, I did have experience at one point, when you put the spin in, the hair goes like up, it's not the right place of the hair, because it's shloim koimo. Perhaps you can hear that, but it's gone very quick. Yes,
it's gone quick.
Okay, so the mindset boys say so ponytails, perhaps talking about ponytails. Ah, I didn't think of that. Ponytails, perhaps he's talking about ponytails. Yeah, no, even in the back could be he's talking about ponytails. Could be that's what he's talking about. The shachatz, the gaiva. Could be he's talking about that.
Never
had ponytails. Yeah. Akoponim Mishnebu brings Machzor Shekel. It's widely quoted, but it's very hard to define this correctly. At what stage does hair become long enough that it becomes a chatzitza? And the Chaim struggle to really understand this concept over here, because really, generally speaking, hair is part of the body, and if something is part of the body, it cannot become chatzitza. It's hard to understand. Rabbi, so as we learned this evening, we spoke about the yud has to be next to the tefillin. We spoke about it should be towards the heart. We spoke about the fact that the ma'avarta, which is where the tefillin goes through, should be up towards the shoulder. We spoke about the problem of chatzitza. We spoke about chatzitza tefillin shliat, tefillin shlosh, and the person should be careful that there's no lice and other insects on the skin. And that's what we discussed today. More on this tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Wishing you a very good evening.